My name's Russell, my wife Lisa, and our son Justin back in the nursery, and we are very grateful to be here. And well, I guess we'll start out. Are we ready, Brother Jesse, back there? All right, man. I've got all my old computer stuff, you know, and it don't match all their, you know, Brother Jesse's fancy stuff back there. So he's been a blessing trying to figure all that out, how we can. We've just been a problem since we've been here, so. But anyway, well, we appreciate y'all having us, and it's an honor to be here. And I'll get into the thank yous and all that here in just a minute, but we'll go ahead and do the presentation. I wanted to say thank you to your church for having us come, and it's been a blessing to be here. We've enjoyed ourselves. Just thank you for the room and the meals and just all the generosity. It's a blessing to be here. We started the church April 26th of 2015. And we didn't really do any deputation. We just kind of, our pastor said, hey, the building was given to us out there. And it's been a church ever since it was built. It had been shut down for about 15 years, something like that. Of course, you can see we got a lot of work to do inside and out, but slowly God's doing some. Brother Paul Sharon that was here with you guys, he did the roof and the painting, and then we were able to put in a brand new central heat and air system there in the building. God provided for all that, and Brother Paul still got some more work to do. We're going to remodel the back there put some restrooms and make it better back there. Our ladies' restroom actually is, the door to it's right at the back of the auditorium, so it's kind of an awkward deal. Whoever thought of that wasn't really thinking, but it's okay. We love it. Amen. When I'm preaching, I hear flush. That means I need to go to the next point. Amen. So, but anyway, God's. We came out here. We dropped in over here one night, and it was iced outside, and they had thought about canceling, and I'm glad they did. Amen. I knew Brother Crawford beforehand, but not very well, and through Brother Crawford and Brother Terry Williams over at Boulevard Baptist, God put us in connection with the Red River Baptist Pastors Fellowship, and they've been such a blessing to us, and God's been so good. And I looked through that. And things remind, some of it's old. Toward the end there, it was a picture of an older lady and a younger gentleman. They just got saved the week before last. And you pray for that young man. His name's Justin. He's a meth addict. Breckenridge has a population of about 6,000 people. About 38% of them are addicted to methamphetamines. Or have tried it. And then there's about half of them are under the age of 18. Now, this is in America, USA, in the Bible Belt, Texas. Last year in the sixth grade, they had a string of selling drugs going on amongst the sixth graders. They would get methamphetamines caked up like Smarties candy and sell them. So pray for us. Amen. But want to thank Miss Donya for putting up with us. She's been helping us figure out what we're doing, and we're trying to figure out what she's doing. My wife and I are friends, or we share a Facebook and an Instagram, and we always are looking forward to the next post because we're not sure what's going to happen next. And on Miss Donya's post there, so that's always a good source for us most of the time, you know, of humor. My wife will say, hey, did you see what Miss Donya posted? No, I hadn't seen that yet. And so, I'm very appreciative of her too, and thank you, Miss Donya, for being such a blessing to us. Just so many, man, there's so many people. I could probably spend hours up here just thanking people for, because just for letting God use them in church. I thank you for letting God use you. You've invested in our ministry. And like Brother Ellis said last night, there's a lot of fruit to your account. We don't take your investment in our ministry lightly. We work and we pray and we toil and we study and we do our best to represent you out in Breckenridge. And so thank you once again for supporting us all these years so far. And you pray for me tonight, man. I'm just, the Lord's just squeezing on me a little bit, but praise the Lord for that. Turn your Bibles, if you would, to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. Thank you, brother. When I get up here, when I get nervous, all I know to do is just go to preaching. And so sometimes I forget to thank people and say what I need to say. I don't know why I'm that way, but just am. But again, if I miss something, I apologize. But I want to be a blessing to you tonight, and I want to challenge you as a church. I always ask the Lord when he gives me the opportunity to preach, Lord, let me be a blessing. Let me be an encouragement. I love seeing the young people here. That's a blessing. I was a youth pastor for a number of years, and I enjoy young people. My favorite age groups are 7th and 8th grade because they just do stupid stuff. You never know what's going to happen. And I enjoy junior high, and I just love it. Teenagers, you never know what they're going to say. You never know what they're going to do. You never know. I mean, I've been on a lot of road trips with teenagers. I hung a teenager out of a hotel window 10 floors up in a hotel. And, they did right the rest of the trip. It was good. There's a lot more of that story than, you know, so. But I love young people. And young people, I know it's, some of you are here kind of because you have to be. I hope tonight that, I always tell our church, if the Holy Spirit tells you to do something tonight, just say yes. I'm nobody special. I'm just Russell. That's all I am. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I was a dope addict for 8 years. I grew up in a Christian home and had every opportunity to miss that life, but chose not to. And by God's grace, he gave me another chance to serve him. And let me say this, just, it's not part of the message tonight, but that is not the rule. That's the exception to the rule, and God don't always do that. So I want to just encourage young people tonight. Man, I know sometimes being at church, sometimes it's long days. These conferences can be long days. And going to the Christian school, I went to a Christian school. It seems like it's always around. The preaching, the Bible, all that stuff. And sometimes we can get used to it. And that's the danger. And so I pray tonight that you just ask God for something fresh, that you ask God to give you something personally that you can take home with you and grow from. Amen. Well, let's read here in Revelation chapter 3. We're going to start in verse number 13. The Bible says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and I have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, You know what he's saying there? I want you to go after stuff that's worth stuff. You know what? The most priceless thing in the world is a soul. That thou mayest be rich and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, open the door, I will come into him, and will sup with him, and he with me. By the way, we use that for a salvation verse a lot, but he's writing to the church here. He's writing to save people. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of churches where God's standing at the door knocking, but they're not listening. And this Laodicean church is very much this type of church. I see here in this passage a church that seems to be doing well. By earthly standards, they definitely appear as, man, they've got gold, and they know of themselves that, man, they're doing well and they're well off. They're rich, they have all the pieces in place according to their point of view. Even to the point where they make this statement, we have need of nothing. As a matter of fact, I see here that this is a very sad condition that this church is in, just in that one statement, that they have need of nothing. We must be careful that as churches today, it's very easy to get to this point, to get comfortable, to get to a place where we have need of nothing. We're still babies in church, amen. Our church is still a baby church, but there are times when we say, well, we're doing pretty good. We notice in this reference, though, that God is wanting them to listen very carefully. He said here in verse number 13, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He's saying, hey, pay attention. Listen. Pay attention here. I've got something I want to tell you. I know there's been a lot of references to and messages also to references of verse 15 and 16 about being cold or hot. And I've been really studying on this thing. And a lot of people say, you know, God wants us to be either cold or hot, meaning, you know, either hot and glowing and on fire for Him, or just totally away from it. I have a hard time with that, because he says, so then because thou art lukewarm, neither cold or hot, I will spew thee out of mouth. Meaning that if you're cold or if you're hot, he wants to partake. So I have a hard time with that application, and I'm not going to try to dice up doctrine tonight or theology, but I just want to make an application here that I think that there are many uses for cold and hot water. And I think that there are different uses that God, we're going to look at this a little bit later in the message, but I think God here is more or less saying, hey, I want you to be usable. I want you to be available. I want you to be worth something. I don't think God wants us to be cold Christians. I don't think that He wants us to be passive, and He wants us to be challenged and always moving forward. Because also it's discussing activity in the church. He said, I know thy works. I know what you're doing. And your works aren't cold and your works aren't hot. They're lukewarm. It makes me want to spit you out. I think this reference to temperature, man, is very key in this passage. I think that a lot of churches, especially in 2018, have got into the lukewarm zone, the comfortable area. There's no doubt that many churches, just like this one, you guys do tremendous work for God, man. And just like Brother Ellis said last night, all the missionaries, it's not hard to see when you walk around here very long that you are a missions-minded church, that God is using you to be a blessing to a lot of missionaries. And because of that, you, because of your help, a lot of men, women, boys, and girls are getting saved. But I'm going to tell you something. We, even in that state, we can become lukewarm. We can become comfortable. We can kind of get to a stagnant place where, hey, we're okay. We're doing all right. And I don't think that that's the way that, the Christian life is supposed to be. I've been in church most of my life. I've probably heard thousands upon thousands of messages. I went to a Christian school. I went to Bible college. And yet I've noticed in my own life and the ministries that God has allowed me to be involved in that there are times when it's comfortable. That, hey, we're not going to push as hard. We're not going to knock another door. We're not going to preach a little bit. We're not going to study a little bit longer. We're not going to, hey, we're doing good. When it comes to the church and its involvement in missions and the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ, I think it refers to this, I want to apply this tonight to this lukewarmness to sometimes how we get as churches and preach on this thought tonight. A church in need of nothing. A church in need of nothing. Let's pray. Lord, we love you tonight. God, we praise you for who you are. I stand up here tonight knowing that without you, I'm nothing. And Lord, I ask you right now to fill me with your Holy Spirit. Empty me of myself. Lord, I don't want people to hear me preach tonight. I want them to hear from you. Lord, I want it to come from your mouth to their ears. God, I pray tonight that you would take this message and challenge us, Lord. Challenge us to do more. Challenge us to be useful to you and stay zealous for you. In Jesus' name, amen. If we truly believe that we're going to be a church that sees that we have needs. And tonight, I'm not referring to material things. I'm not referring, although there's churches all over, I'm sure here even, there's things that are needed to be done, and man, this got to be fixed, and there's no doubt with the operation going on, man, there's things all the time that come up that you need this and you need that. But sometimes as a church in our spiritual walk, we kind of get to the place where as a church, we are in need of nothing. And I'm telling you tonight, God wants us to be a needy people toward Him. God wants us to be a zealous people toward Him. God wants us to want to need Him. We get to the place where we feel like we're doing so much, but when you scale the entire population of the world and you see how many people are dying and going to hell, every 2 seconds, 8 people die. They step out into eternity every 2 seconds. I mean, all the time people are dying and there's not a gospel witness. There's not somebody there to share with them. Why? I believe it's because when America started working with missions and churches were on fire for sending missionaries and getting the gospel, man, it was man, whether they were sending them with money or going with them or praying for them, man, it was a fervent thing that was going on years ago. But I believe that we've become lukewarm as a whole. We've lost our zeal and our fire to reach the world with the gospel. When's the last time you watched a slide presentation of a missionary and God broke your heart? I think we get numb to it. It's natural, human nature. That's what we do. And we've got to be on guard for that, and we've got to be careful for that. We've got to ask God, Lord, keep it fresh to us. And Lord, I pray that you would keep me in need of you and in need of your desires, in need of your heart, in need of what you want. That's as the old song says, Lord, let me see this world the way you see it. If we are going to be a church that's in need, if we're going to have to feel the urgency of the lost and feel like there's more ground to gain and more to accomplish, there's always more souls to reach and more lives to touch and more money to give and more churches to start. And listen, we have no business becoming like the church of Laodicea, where they said, hey, we're rich and we have many things and man, it's going good and we've got everything going the right direction. No, we need to constantly be seeking and pursuing God. What more can I do? What else can we do? What ministry can we start to reach more people? What missionaries can we take on to go reach this area that maybe is not being reached? How many churches can we plant? Where can we go? What can we do? And we need to keep that on our heart and keep it fresh on our heart. Keep it fresh on our mind and love God and pursue God in that way. I believe God wants us to be zealous toward Him. I believe God wants us to be useful to Him. And just like I kind of, the Lord's been teaching me on this cold and hot. Man, I'm telling you, we need to become useful where the Lord wants to taste. He says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And I believe the Lord wants to reciprocate. He wants to be able to have a good taste in His mouth toward us. He told the church here, y'all just want to spit you out. I think God wants to be able to take part in what we're doing and enjoy what we're doing and see our passion for what we're doing. Just using this illustration of water tonight, I'd like to show you some ways that we need to stay needy for water. Stay needy for water. We don't want to be like this church in need of nothing. If we stay comfortable and we stay in our seats and we don't get a passion for souls again, we're destined to become just like this church. He described this church as wretched and miserable, poor and blind and naked. Let us be churches that stay in need of God's water, amen, of the water of life. And just like he compared this church to, hey, yeah, I would rather you be cold or hot, but not lukewarm. Don't be the average. You know, a lot of Christians are okay. I've noticed this even in our small town trying to minister to folks. People are okay with just kind of being average Christians. When we come to the ball field, we don't want to be average. We want to be above average. We come to our place of employment, we want to be above and beyond. We don't want to be just the average employee. Maybe even in our homes, I don't want to be the average dad. And the ladies may not want to be the average mom, but man, we're sure as it comes to church and being a Christian, we're all right with being kind of the average Christian. I go to church, I give my tithe, I participate here and there. I'm talking about tonight being that cold or hot water that God desires to ingest, that God desires to be a part of. I'm talking about being that useful, that good taste in God's mouth. Do you taste good to God? Or does He want to spit us out? I see some examples in the Bible. First of all, I want to be a part of the water of the movement of God. The water, look in John chapter 5 in verse 1, it says, and after there was a feast of the Jews, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And at Jerusalem, by the sheep market, was a pool in the Hebrew tongue called Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. And whosoever then after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatever disease he had. And there was a man there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, knew he'd been a long time in that case, he said, wilt thou be made whole? And the impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man. When the water is troubled to put me in the pool, while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, arise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately this man was made whole. Amen. God sent these angels to cause the movement of the water so that some could be healed. And we know this story. We've read it many times, heard many messages, and this man couldn't find a way in the water. And you might say tonight, well, his healing wasn't involved with that water, Brother Russell. I said, oh, but I disagree with you. If it wasn't for that water being stirred, he wouldn't have been at that pool to begin with. There was something going on down there. There was a moving, a stirring of the water. That's where he knew he could go find help. If there was nothing going on, there wouldn't be a reason to go to that pool. Hey, man, we ought to give people a reason to come to church. We ought to give people a reason to want to hear the gospel. We ought to have a moving and a stirring of God in our life in such a way that people want what we have. We ought to be excited about the things of God and passionate about the things of God and grow desire closer and closer to God. It ought not be a chore to do something for God. It ought to be exciting that God chose me or chose you to step out and knock on someone's door and invite them to church. Or chose me and chose you to increase my faith promise so that we could take on more missionaries and more church planters to get more missionaries across the world. Get more churches planted here in America. Brother Wiggins is right. Can I tell you, I believe this with my whole heart. If our churches, we don't get our churches back right with God and we don't start more churches, we won't be able to send more. We won't be able to send more. And that requires a people who desire the movement of God in their churches, in their hearts, in their homes. I'm talking about the movement of God. See, that impotent man here in John chapter 5 knew. There's some moving going on down at that pool. And if I can just get in there, I'll be healed. And he never made it in there, did he? But he went to where God was working and God healed him. Can I tell you something, man? If we get to where God's working, God can do some work. We need the movement of the water of God. Number two, we need the water of the mission for God. The Bible says in Proverbs 25:25, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. There's that cold water we was talking about. Getting the message, the news, the mission. We got a mission from God. Go ye into all the world. Getting that cold water to that thirsty soul. How do we get these cold waters to the thirsty? Who need Jesus? Well, we go. Matthew 28:18. Go into all the world. We give. See there in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 where they gave out of the abundance of their poverty so that the gospel could be spread out of the church there. And we pray. Oh, can I tell you, as a church planter and I guess we're missionaries. Can I tell you something that we desire far more than finances is you to be in touch with God and praying for us. If you've never been involved with a church plant, you're missing out. But there's a lot that goes on that people really don't know. And I praise God that he's using us. But man, I'm telling you, when we start church, our PA man, me, turns the sound system on. Our song leader, me, leads the singing. The junior church teacher, my wife, deals with all the kids, not just in Sunday school, but we have a little junior church to try to, teach them some things. And I've got one man right now that I've taught to teach Sunday school, and he's still got a long ways to go. And I'm not complaining tonight. Man, I beg God to put me in the ministry. I knew he called me when I was 12 years old at church camp to preach. I knew he called me to preach. And for a long time there when I was living in sin, I thought God never used me again. But man, when I got right with God and I begged God to begin to use me, I didn't know exactly what it was going to get into. But can I tell you tonight, I'm on a mission. Now, let me tell you tonight, in one way, we have the same mission. We got to get souls saved. In other ways, we got different missions. God's called us to Breckenridge. To start that church and to reach those people and be a light that shines out there and have our church be a lighthouse in a dark, dark city. Now, you guys are welcome to come out. Right? Don't tell Brother Crawford I invited you, but you're welcome to come. We need a piano player, brother. So, no. But listen to me tonight. That's my mission. But you know what your mission here is? Man, I'm going to go out and knock on doors and invite people to church. Well, I don't know how to do that. I bet there's a lot of people around here that could teach you. Get involved. Start giving. Give. A lot of times we try to put God in a percentage. Can I tell you tonight? You ought to just obey God and give Him. Why don't you just test God and see if that's what He has? There's some of you that you've had that faith promise cards ever since we've passed them out, and God's put some number on your heart and mind, and you're saying that's crazy. That can't be the right thing. That is way, way out of what we think we can do. And can I tell you, it is more than you think you can do. But it is a whole lot of what God can do. And He can use you, and He can be a part of what you're doing. And I'm telling you, when you do what God says, well, He never lets you go hungry. He never lets you starve. Your bills always get paid. He takes care of those who do what He says. I'm telling you tonight, you just ought to trust God. Because you're on a mission. And praying. Oh, I hope you pray for the missionaries. I hope you pray. Because we need it. Just like your pastor, he needs your prayers. Because you know the devil likes to target those that are trying to go against his cause. We need some prayer warriors today. Can I pray? I'm going to tell you that I believe with all my heart. I believe with all my heart the most valuable and most powerful tool that we have as a Christian is the least used tool in churches today. There's a lot of people that'll show up for a potluck but won't show up for a prayer meeting. I understand not everybody's there, but listen, we ought to get there. Are you burdened for this area? Do you want to see your neighbors get saved? You want to see your community come to Christ? You've got a mission from God. This is your mission right here. So first of all, we see the movement of God. We see the mission for God. Next, tonight we got the waters of the messages of God. In 1 Kings 18, I like this story. This is a story of Elijah on Mount Carmel. I'll just read part of it. He said in verse 33, and he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him upon the wood and said, fill four barrels with water, pour on the burnt sacrifice. Then, if you know the story, he told him to do it a second time and then a third time. And then the fire of God fell and licked it all up. Can I tell you tonight, that really happened? You imagine tonight the message Elijah had. Listen, we've got a message from God for the lost people. Revelation 22, verse 17 said, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, and whosoever will, and whosoever will, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Oh, I'm telling you, we got those cold waters for the thirsty soul. We got the message that God wants us to get around the world. Young people, there's teenagers out there that you know that Brother Jesse can't get. You got a message from God. Church members, where you work, there's people that only you can reach. Brother Eric, Brother Michael, they can't reach them. Why? Because they don't know them, and you have the most influence in their life. spiritually, hopefully. You've got a message. You see, this thing about missions, it's not just getting your wallet out, although that's a big part. This thing about missions is living the message of God through your life, to be an example of the believer, to get the message that God has given you, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the good news that Jesus came and died and was buried and rose again the third day so that I can have a home in heaven, and He's coming back again, and He's going to receive His children, and those who are not His children will be cast into the lake of fire. We've got a serious message. I'm telling you, it's a struggle to tell people, and I understand that. We don't want to tell people, hey, if you don't get saved, you're dying, go to hell. That's uncomfortable sometimes. But listen, I'm sure there's no doctor out there that likes to tell people they got cancer or have some major problem. They don't want to come tell you. But what would we think of those doctors if they never told us? I'm not telling you anything new tonight. I know you've heard this all before. But there's going to be people, there's going to be people you know that are going to die and go to hell. And it won't be because they've rejected you or rejected Jesus. It's because you never told them. You never told them. My father-in-law, my wife's dad, he's a handful sometimes. This morning he was supposed to go in and have a knee replacement surgery. And I was running errands trying to help other family members get to where they need to go. But I promise you this, something I know about my father-in-law. If he was sitting back in that pre-op room long, somebody heard about Jesus. Somebody heard. My wife said three people got witness to while he was sitting back there. My father-in-law's not a preacher. He's just just a layman, but I mean, he's not called of God to minister in a leadership role. But you know what? He is doing what God called him to do. Get the gospel, get the message. The Bible says that we have an obligation. When's the last time you stopped and talked to somebody about Jesus? I'm not talking about, hey, we're going to pray for you. Anybody says that. Have you noticed how much the world trends this thing of the generic God that they serve? Have you picked that up here? I'm so sick of seeing that stuff on TV. It just makes me want to vomit. It's a generic fakeness. I'm talking about football players that, oh, we give glory to God and then go cuss and go get drunk and arrested later on that night. Help us. Oh, yeah, I said that. I ain't scared to say it again either. I'm sick and tired. I know this is kind of a rabbit trail, but I'm sick and tired of our young people idolizing these people. Oh, they believe in God. They may believe in God, but they don't serve God. The Bible says that the devil believes and trembles. And listen, we need to be people that our kids and our young people say, hey, every time they go somewhere, they're telling somebody about Jesus. But not just verbally, but with our actions. I understand y'all have a pretty decent football team around here. I love football, man. I played football from the time I was second grade all the way up into high school. Almost went to college, but God had a different plan. And I know what goes on in the locker rooms. I know what goes on between that line of scrimmage between the linemen and the linebackers, and did my fair share of trash talking. And listen, I'm all for winning, man. You want to clean somebody's clock, but tell them about Jesus while you're doing it. I know that's kind of funny. How many of you guys play football down here? Raise your hand. Hey, when you leave a game, they ought to know, man. That guy just creamed me, but he said Jesus loves me. That's okay. You sack the quarterback, you say, hey, man, Jesus loves you. I'm kind of having fun with that, but that's the impression we ought to leave with everybody we encounter. Because we have a message. We have a message. Not only the waters of messages from God, but can I say that we need a real fresh touch of that waters of miracles of God. Do you know that Jesus is still in the miracle performing business today? Jesus performed several miracles with water in the Bible. I was looking through that. Man, he turned the water into wine. Two times they caught fish in abundance. One time they found money in the fish's mouth in the water. They caught it out of the water. He walks on the water. Peter walks on the water. Of course, this miracle here that was going on at those different seasons where the angels would go down, that was of God. But can I tell you tonight the greatest miracle Jesus ever did with water? Let me read it to you. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water I shall give him shall be in a well of water springing up into life everlasting. Can I tell you something? The day that he gave me water, April 21st, 2002, I was 21 years old. Dope addict, man, fighting everything in the world, fighting God. God brought me down here to Fort Worth. I ended up in the rescue mission there under Brother Brian Fisher. Caused him all kind of problems. God still loved me. Can I tell you, when I got a hold of that drink of water, I've never been the same. It was a miracle. Can I tell you that God had set my life up to where I never had to taste a drop of alcohol or know what it was to go do different things of this world. I'm not going to go into everything that God delivered me from. I ain't giving one bit of glory to the devil tonight. But I'm going to tell you something. God could have easily just struck me dead, but it was a miracle. He saved me. He gave me a chance to serve him. Can I tell you something tonight? That there's a lot of people that are in need of a miracle tonight. They're in need of you getting the message to them so God can perform a miracle in their life. They need that water so they'll never thirst again. And God doesn't care who takes the water to them. From the youngest person in here to the oldest person, it doesn't matter to him who takes the water. You know what he wants? It's somebody that'll just take it. We ought to be involved in the miracle working business of God. I'm telling you tonight, this church at Laodicea here in Revelation chapter 3, they became a church that was in need of nothing. They got complacent. They got cold hearted. They got, well, the Bible says lukewarm. They decided that they didn't need to do anymore. They already had enough going on. They've already done enough for God. We've already arrived. You know what never happened after that? No miracle of God. It became stagnant. It got to the place where God didn't even want to do anything with them. Matter of fact, he said, I want to spew you out of my mouth. Oh. You know, there's a lot of people have different fears. And growing up, I was kind of a daredevil. I didn't face many things that I was just that scared of. But one day, I realized that I had the fear of one thing, that God would never use me again. I didn't want God to spew me out. I didn't want God to be done with me. Y'all seen those pictures? There was a kind of an older gentleman there. We stand side by side, had my arm around him. That was the first man I led to Christ in Breckenridge. That guy was, and he was deep in sin, man. God did a miracle. Now, he's dating a lady over. He moved to Allen, Texas, or close to there. They're going to church. He contacts me every so often. Hey, preacher, how you doing? We went to church this Sunday. Man, we learned this. I say, David, how you doing in your spiritual life? Oh, Brother Russell, I'm doing good. I've been clean X amount of years now, this many months or whatever, you know, however he tells me that. Hey, you know what it is? God did a miracle, and he used just a Russell. That's all I am. I'm nobody special. I don't have any fancy degrees. I don't have a lot of initials past my name. I just want to be involved in that water of the miracles of God. It was said complacency is a blight that saps energy. It dulls attitudes and causes a drain on the brain. The first symptom is satisfaction with the way things are. The second is a rejection of things as they might be. And good enough becomes the motto of the day. You see, God doesn't want good enough. He wants our best. Listen, do you see tonight that we need to stay in need of some things? Do you see that tonight? That we need not to... Listen, we don't need to be a church in need of nothing. See, that church had a lot of needs. They just didn't see it. You know why? The Bible says they were blind, naked, miserable. And our application to the hot and cold water tonight is letting God use us however he determines to use us. But when we get comfortable and stop pursuing him, we become unusable by God. He told them here in Revelation 3, he said, be zealous and repent. Tonight I'd like to just close with this thought. Church, have you become a church that's in need of nothing? I don't know you. This may be just a shot in the arm for you. Or maybe God spoke to your heart tonight. Listen, I'm telling you, in America, we're in the age of church and God and the things of God being just a hobby that we enjoy from time to time. We've become lukewarm. The Lord gave me this thought a while back that if we're going to see revival in America, revival, I believe this, that revival is realizing that God being in my life is not enough. I need to make God my life. We got a lot of things that we wouldn't call it worship, but we worship him. We'd rather be at certain places than at church, and we'd rather give money to certain things than to what God wants you to do. And all, hey, listen, we would rather be at home watching TV than out on Tuesday night visitation. Is that right? Y'all do it on Tuesdays? Listen, if we really sense the urgency, every able-bodied person in this church could sense the urgency that we need to get the gospel out. Man, it should be just as full here on soul winning night as it is on Sunday morning. But the sad part is, a lot of people, we're in need of nothing. We're okay. It's not that big a deal. We're going to miss out on the moving of God. We're going to miss out on the mission from God. We're not going to get the message of God out. And we're not going to see the miracles of God either. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I just want to challenge you tonight, church. Let's not be a church that's in need of nothing. I don't know what you do here, but God spoke to your heart, I'm going to ask you to come. Do business with God. I know Brother Crawford well enough that this altar is an old-fashioned altar. Well, you can come and get some things squared up with God. Teenagers, we need some young people that are willing to be on fire for God. Are you going to be lukewarm and let God spit you out too? I hope not. I don't know. You may be the best group of, youth group in America. Man, that's great. But can I tell you, we need some people that will just say, God, I'm all in. I'm not going to be a lukewarm person. I'm not going to be a part of a lukewarm church. I'm going to be the reason our church is getting the hot water where it needs to go and the cold water where it needs to go. I'm going to be involved. I'm going to get the message out. I got a mission from God. I want to see God do miracles. I hope that we can get that settled tonight. I hope I've been a help to you tonight, Brother Wiggins.
We'll sing hymn 153, I Surrender All. Hope you mean that tonight. So let's sing I Surrender All.
All to Jesus I surrender.
Need to come tonight. The altars are open. Message has been preached.